Today is Women's Equality Day all over the country, of course, and officially recognized in Carrboro, among other places, recognizing the 96th anniversary of the ratification of the 19th Amendment to the Constitution, officially guaranteeing women the right to vote nationwide. We're joined now in the studio, speaking of Carrboro, by the mayor of Carrboro, Lydia Lavelle. How are you?
Hey, Aaron. Happy to be here.
And
good to see you.
You issued the proclamation last week about Women's Equality Day, so.
I did, and I thought maybe if it was all right with you, I'd read it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. So this is a proclamation I issued last week, but of course it's calling attention for today. Here we go. Whereas, due to the efforts of Representative Bella Abzug, a Democrat from New York, the United States Congress by joint resolution in 1971 designated that August 26th be recognized annually as Women's Equality Day. And whereas this date was selected to commemorate the passage in 1920 of the 19th Amendment to the Constitution, granting all women in the United States the right to vote, this was the culmination of a massive, peaceful civil rights movement by women that had its formal beginnings in 1848 at the world's first women's rights convention in Seneca Falls, New York. And whereas, despite having attained the right to vote some 96 years ago, women in the United States continue to struggle to be treated as equals with their male counterparts, as proven by social, educational, legal, and economic patterns and statistics in this country. And whereas, for example, on average, full-time working women earn just 78 cents for every dollar a man earns. This is why women's advocates urge the passage of the Paycheck Fairness Act, which would comprehensively update and strengthen the Equal Pay Act of 1963. And whereas, while this observance of Women's Equality Day is to commemorate the passage of the 19th Amendment, its purpose is also to call attention to continuing efforts toward full equality for women. And whereas the commemoration of Women's Equality Day is even more poignant this year, 2016, when for the first time a major political party in the United States has nominated a woman as its candidate for President of the United States, Hillary Clinton. Now, therefore, be it resolved, I, Lydia Lavelle, Mayor of Carrboro, urge all residents of Carrboro to reflect on the history of women's rights in this country, particularly efforts around securing the right to vote for women, to honor the work of those who sought and continue to seek to achieve equality for women, and to work collectively to continue efforts toward full equality for all women.
And it is Women's Equality Day today, August 26th, 96 years since the passage of the 19th Amendment. And I think it's so important to recognize the history of the women's rights movement in general, because you hear people making the argument today, and especially with Hillary Clinton as the presidential nominee, talking about the women's rights movement and feminism in general, you so often hear people say, oh, feminism and the women's rights movement was important back in the day, 20 years ago, 30, 40 years ago, and now it's no longer important, or any further gains that people are calling for will have some fundamental negative transformative effect on American society. And it's so important to remember that that argument is always constantly made at any point in history. Like, people made that argument in 1919 as well.
Right, they did. And, you know, when I've been studying the 19th Amendment the last couple of years, and your point is exactly correct. And I think a lot of this has been talked about during this year when we have a woman running for president, and stories around that, and around women of Hillary Clinton's generation, even my generation, and of how it's, you know, younger people may think we have full equality. You know, we'll live through a couple of decades in the working world, and you can see a little bit of a difference. The other thing that's so, I think, fascinating when you look at the women's rights movement, though, is, and we've talked about this before, comparing it to other civil rights movements, you know, from the civil rights movements in the 1960s to movements for the American with Disabilities Act, and then, of course, more recently with the gay rights movement. You know, it all kind of revolves around the power from the people at the grassroots level.
Yeah. How much progress are we making?
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you one thing.
It's always slower than we want it to be.
We always look back
on 10 years and it's like, well, things have changed. It's not as much as we want.
It always is. And it's always two steps forward, one step back.
Yep,
and, you know, what I try to do whenever I write proclamations is I always have some boilerplate language that everyone uses. And then I always try to kind of dig a little deeper. And so that's when I started studying when I wrote this about the painless. The Paycheck Fairness Act, and, you know, thinking, yeah, you know, it's still the 78 cents for every dollar, that kind of thing. And but then it was nice to be able to write in the proclamation this year that we did have a female running for president. So,
yeah.
You know, I always try to look for kind of current examples of what I'm proclaiming.
That is really significant. And kind of the same thing with Barack Obama running in 2008. Like, at this point, win or lose, we're past the point now where we can seriously say, oh, that will never happen, or it's out of the realm of possibility.
Right.
Now, literally everyone in America, black or white, and also man or woman, can say, I aspire to be president, and have someone that they can look to as a model.
Yeah,
which is
yeah,
really
they
cool.
sure can. And, you know, and I can even, you know, I remember very clearly, like, when Geraldine Ferraro was a vice presidential candidate, and
yep.
that was huge, and that was major. Of course, they lost terribly, you know.
Yeah.
And then, of course, Sarah Palin more recently. So this is perhaps the first one where a woman will actually get elected to one of these offices.
Speaking with Carver Mayor Lydia Lavelle, and again, today is Women's Equality Day, August 26th, recognizing the 96th anniversary of the ratification of the 19th Amendment to the Constitution guaranteeing women the right to vote. Are there plans for year 100 in
2020? You know, it's funny. I was just looking at that, and I was thinking, ooh, 96.
Yeah,
I'm sure
yeah.
there's going to be some huge. Oh, and imagine if there happened to be a woman in the White House,
A re-election campaign for Hillary Clinton. Yeah,
yeah
if she wins.
Yeah.
yeah.
So we'll have to plan something for that, all I right. guess. Not. I mean, regardless of our president, in general, that will be a landmark, that 100 years.
Yeah, absolutely. So, of course, we're talking about the women's rights movement, which goes on today. And you mentioned the LGBT rights movement as well. And this is something that Carver has been on the forefront of and continues to be, right?
Yeah. Yeah. So, so the Human Rights Campaign, of course, is a national organization that seeks to advance LGBT rights. And
I hear they're stronger than the NRA, according to some.
Yeah, right.
Governors.
They are. They're
yeah.
they have much more power.
So much more power. Yeah.
Right.
Ridiculous.
So anyway, they for many years they have produced an index of, for example, companies that have LGBT inclusive and positive policies, and also in more recent years they have started compiling a municipal equality index, okay? And so I've been keeping an eye on this for the last several years. And when I became mayor, we got a hold of them and asked, you know, because the cutoff is something like 50,000 or 100,000. It's some
okay.
population well above Carborough.
Gotcha.
So, but we were like, you know, look, we want to participate.
Yeah,
you know, we're
exactly.
doing everything we can and we want to. So,
should be the namesake of the list in the first place, considering when Carborough got started
right,
with this.
Right.
Yeah.
So, so in any event, it's basically an index. Their Municipal Equality Index is an annual nationwide evaluation of municipal laws, policies, and services affecting the LGBTQ community. And so, I'm not sure under what category, but we are going to be submitting an application to try to be rated and in terms of being scored by the Human Rights Campaign. And so we've been working on that a little bit, and I thought you might find it interesting to see the different categories
yeah.
where you would be able to get points, and we've been kind of working on some of these. Well, first and foremost is non-discrimination laws, okay?
Right.
So we're already off the bat, you know, in trouble there.
Yes.
Okay. Employment, housing, and public accommodations. So, you know, I think that, you know, so right there is, I think, 30 of your 100 points that mm-hmm. aren't even possible in states like North Carolina.
Is there a workaround that they have for cities in states like North Carolina?
They do have some. There's some kind of a category where they can give you points for a city testing the law or pushing back against the law.
Gotcha.
And so, of course,
we should sort of step back a second for people who haven't been following this for the last 6 months. Cities don't have power in North Carolina to pass anti-discrimination laws. At least they haven't for the last 5 months and 3 days.
Definitively, right,
yeah.
for the last five plus months. And so, but then you do get some points for pushing back and having outcry, which,
okay.
you know, our
has there
immediate
been an outcry in Carborough?
We had
haven't noticed.
Yeah. We had the first loudest outcry over Easter weekend,
yes,
you might recall.
Yeah.
And then they look at your municipality as an employer, you know, and there's different things you look at there. Do you have non-discrimination policies for your city employees? Do you have, you know, benefits for city employees? And some of these include not just what we used to refer to as domestic partner benefits, which, you know, kind of are undergoing a change now in that they're not solely for same-sex partners, but also some degree of trans-inclusive health benefits. The ability of cities to contract with non-discrimination clauses. Now, that's, again, another one that was yanked away from us, one that we had tried to do. And, you know, just having an inclusive workplace and policies and, you know, workshops and that kind of thing. There are some of the other categories revolve more around, I would say, larger cities, but we're trying to do them as much as we can
okay.
in Carborough, I know. One is there any kind of a human rights commission? And, of
okay.
course, we have there's a human relations commission in the county, and of course, we have We actually have a Human Services Commission. It's a little different. I don't know that we would fall into that category. In some of these bigger cities, you get points if you have an LGBT liaison to city executives. And you know, I have a liaison to me, and so we're working on that. If you have any, we do not have influence over our school system, but in the states where there's some degree of accountability between local government and the schools, you get bonuses for anti-bullying policies, and then also you get bonus points for the larger, especially larger cities where you provide direct services for LGBT youth, LGBT elderly population, HIV/AIDS population, transgender population, homeless, where you can get a little more specific with some of those. There are points with law enforcement. If you have a liaison in your police department that's your LGBT liaison, you get points if you report hate crimes and have an understanding of and appropriately respond to hate crimes. And then there's also leadership on LGBT equality, and that goes to the municipality's public position on equality and pro-equality legislative efforts. And you also can get some bonus points if you have openly LGBT elected leaders.
Okay.
So quite a few of those, Little Carborough, we might score pretty well on.
So we kind of get a 40-point ding there for being in a state that has House Bill 2 in the first place, but doing pretty well otherwise.
It should be scaled for we don't have a possible 100. We only have a possible 70 or whatever.
Yeah, 70 like that. So I know there's got to be some sort of wiggle room for cities and states like North Carolina where they don't have power to do just because of the way the state is set up.
Well, we are, as I've said many times on the show, we are the very worst because we are told we cannot do it. And really, I'm not sure that there are I'm not sure there's any other state where statewide municipalities are told you cannot do this.
Yeah.
So, believe me,
Arkansas and Tennessee are the two other ones.
Well, when we're submitting our information to HRC, we will make a loud cry for getting those points automatically given to us, because if we could, we would.
Yeah.
And we've tried and we can't, and we're working on doing all we can to be able to.
Well, that would be really cool if Carborough could get on that list and recognized, because Carborough certainly deserves to be, and so does Chapel Hill and so many other municipalities just here in the Triangle area. And I think it's important too for an organization like the Human Rights Commission to recognize small towns, because we've got, and especially in the, it's in 2016, we've got a presidential election. There's all of this narrative, and it's being reflected a little bit in the polls of this big urban-rural divide between Clinton supporters and Trump supporters, and there's this huge shift. But there are so many small towns in America like Carborough that have, and in the South, in the Bible Belt, and sort of anti-gay states or states with that reputation, that are extremely LGBT friendly and just very welcoming and inclusive and accepting and tolerant and beyond tolerant places for LGBTQ people, and that should be recognized too.
Yeah, and I think it's it probably comes down to simply floodgate and scope, and there's an awful lot of little towns, but still, no, I agree, and especially for towns that would take the time to kind of look and examine and consider doing this. I think it, really in the grand scheme of things, Carborough is not that little.
Right,
we are in the Metropolitan Mayors Coalition, which means we're on the cusp of the membership at being, 20, almost 21,000 population. So it could even be 20 and above
20,
or whatever,
000,
or 15
like
above
that.
And again, I don't have it in front of me to know what it currently is, but I don't know. Maybe we'll be a trailblazer and encourage them to kind of open it up more.
But even like a 5,000, like you think about a town like Hillsborough or something like that, that's smaller, but also has inclusive policies, or at least makes an effort to be. And there's so many small towns, but wouldn't it be amazing if the Human Rights Commission, Human Rights Campaign, could come forward and say, look, we've got this list 15 pages long in tiny font, single spaced, of all of these cities and municipalities in America that are open and inclusive and accepting and welcoming. This is the way of the future. This is the way of now.
And I agree. And the other point there is just the awareness, because I know us, even as forward thinking and open minded as we are, just kind of thinking through what more you can do and what more you can actually easily do, or that you've done, or that you didn't see it that way.
Yeah.
So I think I think it might end up being a great extension of a program they have.
Well, I hope so. And anything we can do to get the push on the human rights campaign to recognize Carborough. I think it would be really cool.
All right, very good.
All right, we're speaking with Lydia Lavelle, mayor of Carborough. Before we let you go, we got to do it in a minute. Latin American Festival coming up on Sunday. That's part of the open streets that Carborough has been doing all summer long, but El Centro taking over this weekend.
Yeah, this will be really exciting. It's the third annual Latin American Festival, and some time ago, maybe even last fall, after the festival was held at Town Commons, had a talk with Pilar, the director of El Centro, and talked about moving this into a little more trafficy, a little more visible location, and came up with the idea of using one of our open streets dates to have it over on the street, basically, on West Weaver, kind of between North Greensboro and Lindsay, somewhat kind of almost in front of where El Centro is. And it's going to be a wonderful day, beautiful weather. It runs from 12:30 to 7:30. As with many of our festivals, it'll probably get going midday-ish. You know, they always start out just a little slow, but there's going to be, as you've said many times, you know, live music, authentic food, arts and crafts.
Zumba,
yeah, folkloric dances, yep. kids activities. Yeah, the Zumba-thon. You can Zumba for a cause, I guess. Families and children are welcome. And I previously feared that I was going to be out of town on Sunday, and it turns out I'm going to be in town, which I'm really excited about. And so I may be taking part in the Zumba-thon also.
All
so
right.
We'll see.
Godspeed.
Some good, yes, some good, some good exercise from 5:30 to 7:30. So
awesome.
If you want to sign up for that, you can sign up ahead of time. $5 for children and $10 for adults.
Awesome. And that's this Sunday, 12:30 to 7:30 West Weaver Street. So head to downtown Carborough and check that out. Mayor Lavelle, thank you so much.
Thank you.